Please, Luke chapter 19. And we will read verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now that's a simple verse. 16 words, the longest word in our language in this verse is a word of 5 letters, which, no wonder we teach this verse to children. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Maybe it will even make it more simple this evening if I suggest to you that we will just focus our attention on the two personalities that are in this verse. One at the beginning of the verse, and one at the end. The Son of Man, who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to first of all direct your attention to the lost. Now, it's very plain that in our meeting this evening, it is possible only to have 2 classes of people. Those who are lost and those who are not lost. That's very elementary. I would say further that it is only to those who are lost that the gospel message has any value. For a man or woman who is not lost, there is no good news in the gospel. If you were to turn just a few pages earlier to Luke chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says, they that are whole need not a physician. Now we're not talking about being lost or saved, but we are now talking about being healthy or sick, spiritually. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so our audience tonight is divided between those who are whole, spiritually healthy, and those that are spiritually sick. Those who are sinners, and those who are righteous, those who are lost, and those who are not lost, those that are saved. And there is nothing in between. And if you have never found yourself to be lost, then you have never found any value in the death of Christ. He came only for this one class of people. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I want to suggest further that if you take all of the members of the human family, they must fall into one of these 3 categories, taking words from this text. Either they must fall in the category of those who were lost, who were sought, and who are found. Were lost, were sought, and are found or saved. Then there are some in our meeting this evening who will fall into this category. Some who are lost, sought, but not saved. And finally, there are some who are lost, never sought, and never saved. I want to look at those 3 categories when I consider the lost this evening. I am thankful tonight that I'm among the first. Those who were lost, were sought, and are saved. It's a great thing. I will never forget the moment when it dawned upon me as it never had dawned before that I was lost. I have learned it all my life. And I had figured that I knew how to be saved. Many times I dreamed, like our little boy at home, 8 years old, he told me one day last summer, he said, Daddy, you don't have to worry about me. If I find out I'm dying, I'll be saved. I said, how will you do that? But he said, I'll just believe on the Lord Jesus and I'll be saved. I thought that too. But there came a moment when I found out I was lost. If I had had to be saved in those moments after that gospel meeting, on the 16th of April, 1961, if I had had a half an hour to be saved, I would have missed it because I was lost. And for the first time in my life, I found out I'm lost. But I am thankful to be able to tell you tonight, I found out that night that heaven had an interest in me. Heaven had been seeking me all the days of my life. There were many days when troubled thoughts came over me. I never thought to attribute them to God. There were disappointments that came into my life. I never thought that they were disappointments sent from God. But as I reflect upon them now, I have learned this, that heaven was disturbing my life. And the Lord Jesus was a shepherd that was seeking for me. I'm thankful it was so. Heaven had an interest in me. And I can tell you tonight of the moment when I was saved. Lost, sought, saved. Oh, thank God. I'm going to praise forever the one who came to seek and to save me, the lost sinner. I'm happy to live. I wouldn't mind living to be an old man. But I am very anxious to see the Lord Jesus, the one that sought me and saved me. And I think I would like to be in his presence for 10,000 times 10,000 years to begin to thank him for ever seeking and saving a lost sinner like me. It's a great thing to be saved. It's a great thing to know this Savior. I wish everyone in the meeting tonight would come to know him. I wish you would find yourself to be in the category of those who are lost, but sought. And tonight, leave the meeting in the category of those who are saved. Lost, sought, saved. But I want to address my thinking tonight to those who are lost, who are sought, but are not saved. I am thankful to be able to tell you tonight that heaven has an interest in every lost sinner. I take it to be the work of heaven, the Spirit of God that has brought you to the meeting tonight. You may blame it on parents that have brought you, but it's God that has arranged home circumstances to bring you. You may blame it on coincidence that you're here tonight. You may say, well, I was just curious. I would like to know what these men are preaching. And so I came tonight. We believe that you are here tonight because heaven has an interest in you. Heaven is seeking for your eternal welfare. But I think perhaps it might be most helpful to you to discover just what the Bible means when it says, that which was lost. I turn for the moment just back a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 15. It is the chapter of lost things. If I want to learn what it means to be lost, I think I can find some very interesting illustrations of it in Luke chapter 15. In that chapter, the Lord Jesus tells a story about a boy that was lost. And there came a shocking moment when he discovered he was lost. You know what he said? How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I am lost with hunger. It's the very same word. I perish with hunger. What does it mean to be lost? It means to be empty, to be in destitution. It means to simply be, to find oneself in the place where I cannot fill my empty heart. There is something that I cannot satisfy. I am lost. Life has left me empty. That's what it means to be lost. The great answers to questions are missing. The something in life that makes life worth living is missing. The joy that the Christians have, that somehow or other seems to be radiated in their faces, it's just not there. I am lost. I am perishing with hunger. There's something more to life, and I don't have it. I'm lost. If I were to read further up in that chapter, I learned that to be lost is to be like a lost coin that is in disuse. It would have a value. It would be useful. But it's lost. It is absolutely no use as it is. I suppose you may never have considered this fact, but I want to present it to you tonight. That if you have never been saved, lost, you are of absolutely no value to God. That is to say, there is no service that you could perform that would be of value to God. That lost coin was sitting somewhere in a dusty, dark corner, and it was of no use to the woman who had it. Now that's not only taken from the parable in Luke chapter 15. Romans chapter 3 will tell us the same truth. They are together become unprofitable. You see, some people, I think it's native to the human heart, have the idea that, I would like to be able to do more for God. But I do try my little bit, you know. That's why some people reach down in their pocket and they take out their little coin and give it to the Lord, so to speak. And they're interested in contributing a little to the good cause and that kind of thing. That's why we don't pass the collection plate. Because we would like to impress all that are here tonight who are lost with the fact that there is absolutely nothing that they can do that God will accept. Nothing. Absolutely, totally useless as far as God is concerned. Now that does not mean that there is not some value potentially. God is interested in souls. They are precious to God. But as far as your present usefulness to God, your whole lifetime in the past has added up to zero. Unable to help oneself as far as spiritual things are concerned. The first part of the story in that chapter, the first part of the parable, gives us another picture of what it means to be lost. Here is that one lost sheep. That sheep is in danger. Now, whether it knows it or not, that sheep is in danger. That's what it means to be lost. It has wandered away. It has its mind on something else. You can picture it, can't you? A little sheep and a little bit of grass here. On it goes, a bit of grass here. Looking for something more, on it goes. And it may have been totally unaware of the danger in which it was found, but it was lost. To be lost this evening means to be in danger, whether you realize it or not. Death this evening is stalking your path, and you are totally incapable to protect yourself from it. To be lost means to be unable to protect yourself. We believe in a personal devil, you know, because the Bible teaches that. And we believe that that devil is interested in making men and women his prey. And you are totally incapable of protecting yourself from it. Oh, you say, that can't be true of me. Because, you know, I know the devil would be happy for me to live down in the gutter of sin. Wherever the gutter of sin is, I'm not sure. But the devil would be happy for me to live in the gutter of sin. And I'm far too respectable for that. The devil is just as happy if you live a respectable life, as long as you're never saved. The devil will be just as happy with your going to places of entertainment. The devil will be just as happy with your being taken up with education. The devil will be just as happy with your being taken up with all kinds of sophistication and humanitarian efforts. And he'd be happy if you became a church member, as long as you didn't get saved. The devil is interested in making men and women his prey, and they are totally incapable of delivering themselves from his power. That's what it means to be lost. In danger. Although they may totally be unaware of it. This same word lost is used earlier in Luke's gospel in a most interesting way. The disciples with the Lord Jesus are crossing over the Sea of Galilee. And a great wind is blowing and they're in a storm. Now these are fishermen, don't forget, many of them. And suddenly they find themselves in a storm that has them fearful for their lives. And the Lord Jesus is sleeping peacefully and they wake. Master, we perish. What do they mean? Master, we are lost. It's the very same word. Master, we are in danger of going to the bottom of the lake. We are in desperation. Let me use that word to emphasize. Here are men that are suddenly face to face with death. And they realize we are totally incapable of helping ourselves. I think that's a very solemn thing with which to face you tonight. As you sit in this gospel meeting, when God says in his word, lost, he means that you are where you are sitting tonight. In danger of sinking into the lake. The lake of fire. As you are tonight, you are in desperate need of being delivered because you are lost. It could be, dear soul, that before tomorrow morning's light, your soul could have taken its flight into eternity and never to come back anymore. And your soul, if it left tonight as it is, lost, would be lost forever. I saw one time a bumper sticker. Bumper stickers have a tremendous variety. And one of them was, smile. You may be in heaven tomorrow. That's wonderful. I thought, that's great. I might be in heaven tomorrow. But I thought, my, what a waste of bumper sticker. That applies to the minority who are going to be reading it. But nobody would pay to put a bumper sticker on their car that told the truth, would they? Awake. You may be in hell tomorrow. I wonder how many that are not saved in our meeting this evening are facing that solemn fact. That's what it means to be lost. It is within the realm of possibility that my soul by tomorrow morning's light may be gone into an eternal darkness of torment. Oh, may God awaken you tonight to see what a desperate condition it is to be lost. Absolutely nothing to stop your soul from sinking into the wrath of God forever. Lost. What a serious word. When I read this word lost in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I learn another thing. To be lost means to be in darkness. If our gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lost. To be completely in the dark. As far as salvation is concerned. When I hear someone tell me I know how to be saved, I know that I'm talking to someone that has never found out they're lost. That's why we don't mind sitting down with people that are not saved and trying to point out to them the way of salvation. Because we realize every person we meet who needs to be saved is in the darkness. They have no idea the way to the city. As far as they are concerned, they may understand all the gospel facts. They may all fit in their proper place in the puzzle. But they find themselves to be lost. They're in darkness. How this whole thing really applies to me, I do not understand. How this whole thing is supposed to be worked out, I don't know. I think there are some that are spending so much time in one pursuit. They're looking for that one little missing piece of the puzzle. If someone could just explain to me, for some it's explained to me just how I'm supposed to believe, how I will feel when I'm saved. If you could just explain to me what I'm supposed to do. There's just that one little piece. I got the whole thing figured out, but I can't get that one piece into place. Your soul tonight, you're in complete darkness. And if you had all the pieces before you, it would never work. Because you're lost. And until a man or a woman faces that fact, they will never get God's salvation. To some of us, you see, that took so much pride in what we knew, it was a terrible come down. That's why some people have a problem in getting saved. They just don't like to admit I'm lost. They're interested in holding on to a little dignity, you know. And they're interested in, they've made so much progress, they're afraid to lose all that progress if they admit they know nothing. Take a man or woman that knows nothing and begin to tell them the gospel if they have an interest in it. Why, how simply they're saved. How simple. And those of us that know it best, we make such a big struggle over it because we just don't want to admit I've lost. Lost, sought, not saved. There is another most solemn category, and it is this. Those who are lost, who are not sought, and who are not saved. There is no such person in the world tonight. But hell is filled with such people. Heaven has an interest in every sinner in the gospel meeting this evening. But the moment the soul passes the boundary line into eternal night, heaven will never again seek them, and they will never be saved. Oh, what a solemn thing to think that there are those that we have known and loved, and they have passed the boundary line, and they are lost and not sought and not saved. Heaven is never going to draw them back again from the course they have chosen. My, how many times in life there are those with us tonight, and you have felt the hand of God gently draw you back from the path of your choice, and you have still gone on willfully in your own way. Dear soul, let me tell you this evening, it may be but a matter of minutes, and your soul will go beyond where God reaches to draw the sinner back. Oh, dreadful thought in hell to burn, never to come back anymore. To awake and to find it is eternal night. To awake and to find it is the depths of a burning hell. Oh, what must it be to be lost forever? Let the word ring through our hearts tonight. There is a place, and it's not very many breaths away for some who are in our gospel meeting, where this word lost fills the heart with terror and doom. Yonder is heaven, but 'tis far, far away. Closed are its gates, and far off its bright day. Ye harps, crowns, and angels, I bid you farewell. On those fair scenes it torments me to dwell. Ye lightnings and torments that blast me in hell. Echo, I'm lost. I'm lost. To be lost and never sought by heaven, and never to be saved. Thank God for the Son of Man that came to seek and to save that which was lost. A lost sinner can do absolutely nothing to find himself. Nothing. That's what it means to be lost. Thank God he came. Thank God he sought for lost sinners. Zacchaeus is the proof of it. Underneath the tree, the Lord Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I'm seeking for lost sinners. Faster than I can tell you, Zacchaeus was at the bottom of the tree. He was a lost sinner. And Jesus came to seek lost sinners. He knows you by name tonight. And he is telling you tonight as though by name. Sinner, make haste and come down. Lost soul, I am come to seek you. He has come. He does seek for sinners. Thank God it is true. He will save you. Oh, how simple it is for those that are lost. The whole matter of being saved rests in his hand. The Lord Jesus does not say the Son of Man has come to aid in seeking and saving that which is lost. The Son of Man is come, and in his coming, and in his going to Calvary, he has done all that is necessary to save that which was lost. Dear soul, can you not take it in tonight that there is nothing more required? For lost sinners, a crucified and risen Christ is all that is needed to save them. That's it. Some of us, in our conversations in the past 3 weeks, have been mentioning a dear friend of mine who always comes to mind on this verse. And he's known to some of the folks here. Dear Sam Gilmore was known everywhere. I hardly go anywhere, but people know Sam. Sam liked to give out tracts. He loved to tell the story of his conversion. Sometimes when I was visiting in his assembly, I would volunteer to bring him back across the river into Philadelphia, where he lived. And we'd always go down Spruce Street. And I would wait, and if he didn't start, I'd start him. And we would come to a certain spot where there was a street light. And he would say, David, this is the spot. So many years ago, I was walking down this street, right at this spot. I had listened to an evangelist preach, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I was longing to be saved, and as I was walking down the street, I thought to myself, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm lost. And I'm saved." It lasted Sam Gilmore many, many years. The evidence of it was in his life. He had got to Christ that night. What did he see? "I'm lost. That's why Jesus came to die, and that's all that I need." Dear soul, we commend this Savior to you tonight. He has come to seek at infinite cost. At the cost of his own precious blood, his life given at Calvary, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you can find room for yourself at the end of that verse, then there's room in heaven for you. Take the place of lost that God gives you in His Word, and find the blessed truth to be true for you. He came to seek to save me.
Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were thine..."